right. So, question. When I hold that up, what do you see?
Guitar.
A guitar. Well, it's not a whole guitar, right? Okay. It's broken? No, it's just not built yet. And I don't like the paint job because somebody this morning came in. It's mine. I painted it, but it was an experiment, and I'm probably going to sand it off and repaint it. But the first thing one person said when I came in this morning and they saw it, they said, "Man, that's ugly." I said, "Well, thanks. I appreciate that." But, okay. So my question would be, what color is it? Green? Who says green? Raise your hand. Who says brown? Raise your hand. What? It does? You think it depends on how I hold it? Okay. Now it's green. Okay. Yep. This is painted in what's called a color shift paint. It's supposed to change colors depending on the angle you're looking at it from. Which is great, because that's what it's supposed to do. I still don't like it, so I'm going to sand it off and do something else. But it's an indicator, or it's an example I wanted to put out there for sometimes the way we see things changes our perspective of what it looks like, right? What we think it is. Some, you know, might get information. If you're a guitar weirdo, you would say this is the pickup configuration for what? A Telecaster. Sorry, guitar nerds. I know. You guys are like, what is that? Look, I have to speak to everybody on their level. This is a guitar nerd. Anyways, okay. So, all right. So, depending on the perspective, depending on the knowledge you have, depending on what you value and what you don't, how you see life, how you see a certain situation, how you see a relationship, how you see things tends to be affected. Your perspective affects how you see events. We would call that on a grander scale, we would call that worldview, right? So if you're a follower of Jesus, the way you see the world is through the eyes and hopefully through the hope of knowing Jesus and who he is and what he promises and the coming and his return that will come, right? We hope to see the world through those eyes, but if you don't know Jesus, you see the world completely differently. In fact, I would argue oftentimes you see it without purpose. You see it without hope. And so we clamor to try to find meaning and hope and all of those things when the truth is it's always been here, it's always been offered, and his name is Jesus. As we go into our story that they did such a great job telling, I'm going to make us read it again anyways, but it's a story out of Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, as he begins to speak, Jesus is doing some healing. He's doing healing and he's caring for people and he's got a big crowd of people around him. And then as we just heard, and we will hear again, something crazy happens. So if you would, open your Bibles, Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. And as we go through this, we're going to break it down by different perspectives, how different groups of people who were there, who were present. So as we're reading, look for groups of people and see how they considered what Jesus was doing in front of them and how they considered it differently. It says this, on one of those days while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and also from Jerusalem. And the Lord's power to heal was in him. Just then some men came carrying on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. They tried to bring him in and they set him down before him. Since they could not find a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and they lowered him on the stretcher through the roof tiles in the middle of the crowd before Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to think to themselves, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemes? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But perceiving their thoughts, Jesus replied to them, "Why are you thinking this in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he told the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your stretcher or your mat, and go home. Immediately he got up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. Then everyone was astounded, and they were giving glory to God, and they were filled with awe and said, we have seen incredible things today. The first perspective I want to look at this story through, the lens of or the eyes of, are the men who were carrying their friend, this paralyzed man. Have you ever heard the phrase, ride or die? Do you have a ride or die person in your life? Do you know what that means? Okay, a ride or die person is a person that will ride along with you all the way till the very end or die trying. Okay? So I have a ride or die in my life. My ride or die, at least she better be, is no pressure or anything, is my wife. My wife, Heather, is my ride or die. She's my person that I know is with me no matter what. She has seen me at my worst. She has seen me make horrible mistakes and bad decisions. She has been with me when I needed somebody to hug me. She has seen me at my best and cheers me on. Sometimes she corrects me when I mess up. But she is with me no matter what. I never question that she is with me through thick and thin. For a lot of us, that's our spouse. If you're not married yet, when you're younger, you probably have friends that are your ride or die. They will be with you no matter what. They will cover your back when you get in trouble, right? They will help you get through a difficult time or a problem with a boyfriend or a girlfriend or school or picking a college or any of those things. They will help you get through what you need to get through in this life. The truth is, we all need a ride or die. In fact, we probably all need more than one. We need people around us who will carry us in the midst of our difficult times. And the truth is, the family of God is supposed to be that. We are supposed to be a people who will be with one another through all of it. Through the ups and the downs and the goods and the bads. And sometimes we find ourselves in a bad situation and we don't reach out and ask our ride or dies. Or maybe we don't have a ride or die because we never took the time to build those bonds, right? But we need those people just as this man needed his friends. The ones that were willing to carry him, that were willing to go the extra mile to haul him from wherever it is he was, I'm sure argued with him. This man's been paralyzed his whole life. I bet he's tried just about everything. Wouldn't you? Try just about everything to get healed, to be better. They put in the extra time and effort. And they were willing to help him work through the disappointments and the challenges and the difficulties. And they believed that no matter what, they had faith that Jesus could do something. Maybe it was desperation. Maybe it was true trust. I don't know. Sometimes we come to the foot of the cross out of desperation. Sometimes we come to the foot of the cross out of pure trust, and we know that's our first response. Either way, when we show up, Jesus says, friend, I'm glad you're here. Jesus, in fact, honored that. He honored their commitment to their friend. He honored their faith in him. And he said, because of your faith, it's not just that guy's faith, it's his friend's. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think that maybe healing could occur through somebody else because of your faith? Or for somebody else because of your faith? Because you are walking with them. Because you are willing to go the extra mile for them. Because you are willing to carry them when they can't carry themselves, when they cannot walk. when they cannot get there on their own, when there's a block that's keeping them from coming to know Jesus. Maybe it's an experience in their life and they've lost all hope. Maybe they were hurt by the church in some other time or season, and they're like, I can't come back to Jesus. I got hurt. I took a risk and it didn't work. But what if we are called to be a people who are always reaching out for those who, as our men's class was discussing this morning, are being willing to stand in the gap and be the people that are trying to help bridge this seemingly insurmountable gully between us and God? It's the kind of people that keep inviting somebody to church when they say no. It's the kind of people that continue to call others when they are lost and say, I would just want you to know, I'm still thinking about you. I'm still here. And more importantly, Jesus is still here, right? Are we willing to go the extra mile and to be those people? The truth is, they were able to see their friend healed. They were able to witness a miracle because their perspective was, Jesus can do it and we're going to get him there. And they did not give up. The second perspective we're going to look through is the eyes of the Pharisees who questioned. They questioned Jesus and who he was. And keep in mind, they're seeing the same things, just as we were all looking at the same guitar, and some saw green and some saw brown. Some saw Rob very confused. Some thought, why is this ugly piece of wood here? It's all about perspective. They saw the same things that the paralyzed man's friends did. They saw the same things that the crowd did. And yet their response was to question. Have you ever heard of a word? It's called denialism. Do you know what it is? Any guesses? It is. It is a person's choice to deny reality as a way to avoid a psychologically uncomfortable truth. It's denying facts because you just don't want to see them. Because it calls something of you. It requires you to change your perspective or to deal with something you just don't want to deal with. I think it happens often, sadly more in men than in women, when we are sick, right? We just go, I'm not going to the doctor, I'm fine. It's just a cold, right? Many a man has died of a heart attack because he refused to go to the hospital. It's just indigestion. I'll be fine. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. We have a tendency to try to deny medical conditions and say, oh, it's really not a big deal. It's not going to be a big deal. It won't be a problem, only to find out later that it is. I've seen it in couples on a regular basis where things are slowly tearing apart their marriage. They're ripping things apart. They're just little pins and needles. Maybe it's the words they choose to say to each other. Maybe it's actions that one of them or both of them are taking. Maybe it's some force from the outside, but it's just a little bit of things that are tearing things apart. And the couples say, no, everything's fine. It's all fine. We're all good. It's okay. We understand talking to each other horribly and being mean to each other. We're just kidding. Really not. There's an underlying truth there. We're denying facts, denying reality. We do it, the truth is, we do it all the time. We choose to ignore things we don't want to see. That's what's going on with these Pharisees. They're seeing all the same things everybody else is, but because they already think they have it all figured out, they know exactly how God's going to work, how he should work, right? They have it all figured out. Certainly, this is not God working right in front of me, despite the fact that they are watching God working right in front of them. They're in denial, and it's not just a river in Egypt. That was my dad joke for the day. Thank you very much. It's a defense mechanism that keeps us from dealing with things we just don't want to deal with, but it almost always comes with a price. In John chapter 9, Jesus is healing a blind man, and the Pharisees are, again, arguing and denying and saying, no, this couldn't be God at work. I didn't see this. And Jesus says in verse 41 of John chapter 9, he says to the Pharisees, if you were blind, Jesus told them, because they said, we see just fine. He said, if you were blind, Jesus told them, you wouldn't have sinned. But now that you say, we see, we already know, we've already got it figured out, your sin remains. Sometimes being able to truly see God working or to receive healing requires us to be willing to admit when we are blind, when we are wrong, or when maybe we're just limiting God because of our own perceptions and our own ideas, and we're denying his work in our lives. It's a shame, really. The Pharisees, who are, by the way, God's people, let's keep that in mind. They are leaders of God's people, right? They're unable to see God right in front of them working. I pray that we will not be a people that don't see God working right in front of us. Then there's the perspective of Jesus who saved. You know, our theme for this series that we're finishing up today is about engaging people for the cause of Christ, and seeing those opportunities is exactly that. They are opportunities in our lives, not interruptions to our lives. Jesus is healing this crowd of people. It's surrounded, right? We saw the story. It's so packed in that they can't get anybody else in, certainly not this man on a stretcher. And he's healing, and he's preaching, and he's connecting, and he's communicating, and he's doing God's work, right? And all of a sudden, dust falls from up high, right? On his head and on the heads of everybody else around him. And he probably looks up, or maybe not, because he knew. Everybody else went, what in the world, right? Then the roof opens up, the sun shines through, maybe a tile fell on somebody's head. Who knows? I would say that they probably violated decorum, right? They made a mess of things, and it would have been easy, and frankly, if I might have been apt to, if I was in Jesus' shoes, to say, I'm busy here doing good things. Why are you interrupting me? But Jesus doesn't. He says, welcome. And he says, friend, because of their faith, your wounds are healed. Your sins are forgiven. Talk about the opposite of an interruption. When somebody interrupts you in your daily life, they cut you off, do you pray for them? Do you scream at them? When you are trying to get something done at work and somebody walks into your office for the 47th time today, it may or may not happen to me on a regular basis. Sorry, Gregory says. Just real quick, Kathy is our administrative assistant, and almost every time she walks in the office, she goes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bother you. And almost every time I say what? Don't be sorry, you're not bothering me. Confession. Sometimes it is. Okay? But the truth is, she knows that already. She knows me well enough by this time to tell. But the truth is, if I am truly here to serve whoever God puts in front of me and whatever opportunity he gives me to speak into somebody's life or to answer some question they need answered or to do whatever it is he needs me to do in the moment, then Kathy coming to my office is not an interruption. It is an opportunity. Then Gregory showing up here on Wednesdays for an hour and a half is not an interruption, it's an opportunity. And somebody calling me or texting me at 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock in the morning or 3 a.m. is not an interruption to my sleep, it is an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And the truth is, it's an honor to have an opportunity. Imagine if I could get to the place where anytime somebody came in when I was doing something that I thought was good, my gut response was never, this is an interruption. What if we could all get to that place? Because it seems that Jesus always had time. His disciples, time after time, we talked about it last week, they would say, you need to go rest, you need to take a break, you need to stop, this is too much. And Jesus would say, no, it's not too much. This is what I'm here for. Truth is, we are living in a lost and broken and dying world. We have to be willing to stop and help others see hope, see life, and find healing. Did you notice in this scenario, in this story, there's not just one miracle performed, there's two, right? We're inclined to say, yes, I can see the one. The one is easy, is he was healed, right? He got to get up, he got to walk, he got to go, he got to get back to life, to go home and say, look, I can dance now, right? Cut that out. I'm kidding. I don't dance. He got to be healed, yes, physically, but the other miracle, the bigger miracle, was that his sins were forgiven. His soul was healed. You know, as much as our physical pain makes us really want to be healed physically, the truth is, the greater gift, sins forgiven. Man, that's not just something that's going to last for the rest of our lives. That's something that's going to last for eternity. It's so much bigger. And what's important here in this story is the healing of the sins, forgiveness of the sins, and the healing of his soul came before the healing of his body. Often, so much, I see people say, I will come back to Jesus after I fix this. After I solve my addiction problem, I will come back to be with Jesus and his people. I'll come back to church. I'll come back or come to know him once I've got this relationship problem figured out. I'll come back to him after. Here's the problem. We can't deal with the sin on our own. We have to come to him first to have our sins forgiven, to find our souls healed, and then the rest begins to be an opportunity for us to be healed. We've got it backwards sometimes. It's kind of like medicine. If you go to the doctor and the doctor prescribes you medicine, correct me if I'm wrong, don't you have to take it before it starts to work? You can't just go pick it up at the pharmacy, stick it in your medicine cabinet, and go, I bought it, we're all set. Sometimes, if we truly want to be healed, and sometimes I think this is a test, and I'm not just talking about physical healing, I'm talking about spiritual healing. I'm talking about being made whole and being made right and finding that peace that surpasses all understanding. We have to first be willing to come to the feet of Jesus and allow him to forgive our sins. Which means we have to actually tell him what those sins are. We also have to recognize them within us and not deny that they exist, hoping they will go away. They won't. Then there's the perspective of the man who walked. I wonder if he was scared or skeptical as they were hauling him across whatever desert they were hauling him across or around whatever corner they were taking him. I wonder if he was going, okay, fine, guys, I'll just go because you're making me. We've tried this 47 times. I've been to 16 healers, 5 healing pools, and had somebody rub dirt in it, and it didn't work. Right? Or if he was just terrified, It's going to be a wasted trip. I'm going to be so embarrassed as people watch me be carried in on a mat. And then what did he feel like when they got there and the crowd had packed out the building? Did he think, why'd we even bother? Why'd we even bother? And what about even as his friends are tearing out the roof and he's going up to the roof and his friends begin to lower him down? Put yourself in his shoes. He is crippled, lying on a mat, and his friends lower him down from the middle of the building, right in the middle of this crowd of people. If I was crippled and I was broken and people were lowering me down in front of thousands of people for everyone to see my brokenness, how am I feeling? Exposed. I'm feeling exposed. I'm feeling a little embarrassed, right? I'm feeling like a burden, probably, because I'm interrupting what Jesus is doing or what somebody else is doing. I'm messing up somebody's vibe. Truth is, when our brokenness is exposed to the world, to everybody else, our first response is embarrassment. Or fear. We want to run away, which he clearly can't. That was a joke. Laugh. The story ends well, right? He is healed and he does run away, right? Okay. It's the only reason I can make the joke. But our first response to anybody knowing that we are broken is so frightening to us. Just the potential of it is so frightening of it to us that we will avoid it at all costs. Which is really interesting, because oftentimes that keeps us from having a ride or die person. It keeps us from being connected. If I'm not willing to tell you that sometimes I struggle, sometimes I'm depressed, or as a friend of mine used to call it, excuse my language, but he would call it depissed, because he's both sad and angry at the same time and he doesn't know why. Does that sound about right? Yes. Okay, there you go. It takes courage to say that in front of other people, to admit your brokenness. And sometimes when we go, I can't believe they're saying that. How could they say that? It's because we would be too frightened to say it about ourselves. I'm very blessed to know a whole lot of you. Well enough to know that ain't none of you perfect. Right? Unless there's something I'm missing completely, because I'm not perfect either. And as much as I say it facetiously about Heather being perfect, she is not perfect. Don't tell her I said that. The truth is, none of us have it all figured out. Not a one of us. But man, we try really hard not to be the one who gets lowered down through the roof. Man, I'll pray for that one who gets lowered down through the roof. I will help that one if I can. I will marvel at what God does with him. But man, I do not want to be that guy on the stretcher that gets lowered through the roof. Funny part is, in order to be healed, he had to be lowered through the roof. He had to be willing to let people see his brokenness. He had to be willing to come to the foot of the cross and say, I need this. I can't do this. I can't be fixed. At least not on my own. Imagine the healing that could occur if we were all willing to let ourselves be lowered in front of a crowd. God gives us that opportunity, frankly, every time we gather, to be a people who can say, yes, I need help. Yes, I'm struggling with some addiction. Yes, I am uncertain. Yes, I am angry and I can't figure out why. Yes, I have doubts. Yes, I have relationships that are falling apart. Yes, 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 I'm confused and I don't know which end is up today. Yes, I've made some really cruddy choices. And then to say, I need help. Maybe the three hardest words in our culture. I need help. Truth is, the man is healed because he was lowered. He was healed because his friends were courageous enough to lower him. I pray that we will be a people who are willing to allow ourselves to be lowered. And finally, the perspective of all who saw and who believed. If we read the last two verses again, could you put those back up for me, Hayden? Verses 25 and 26. It says this, immediately, not next week, not next month, not next year, immediately, there's something cathartic about being willing to be lowered in front of all of these people, having all of your brokenness exposed and allowing Jesus to do some work that has some immediate healing involved. It's like it exposes our darkness to the light and the darkness can't hold up to it. I think Scripture says that somewhere, right? He says, immediately he got up before them. He picked up what he had been lying on and he went home doing what? Glorifying God. And then everyone was astounded and they were giving glory to God. And they were filled with awe and said, we have seen incredible things today. Did you hear that? They all left glorifying God. They all left giving glory to God. They all left filled with awe. What does it mean to give glory to God? What does it look like? Any guesses? Any ideas? This is where you answer. Excitement. What? We're allowed to be excited at what God is doing? Yes, we are. And maybe not even allowed to be. Maybe we should be. That word glory, or bringing glory to God, or glorifying God, means to honor him, to praise him, to declare his power, to announce his work, to broadcast his glory, to make it known. The picture I need you to see is that when everyone left that room, what they were doing was going, you have got to see what I saw this morning. You have got to hear this story. You have got to come to know this man, this person that some of you have been asking questions about and don't really know. And you're like, is he really who he says he is? Is he really capable? Can he really do these things? And we need to be walking out. They were all walking out saying, yes, he is. He is that, and you have got to know him. You have got to meet him because he is worthy of everything I could say about him and then some. This is the God we serve. This is the opportunity that these people were able to see, and they left. They walked out glorifying him, lifting up their voices, maybe dancing, maybe breaking out into spontaneous song. Who knows? When you go out to lunch today, if you get a glimpse of what God has done in your life, I dare you to stand up and start singing in the middle of the restaurant. Do you think anybody will forget? No? They will not forget what they saw today, except sometimes I think we're afraid, right? If there's one thing we should not be afraid of in this world, it's bringing glory to our God. It is praising him, being the people that he is calling us to be, having seen his astounding work. And that astounding work isn't really about the physical healing. It's about this forgiveness of sins. Because I don't know about you, that is the greatest gift any of us could possibly have in my mind. The notion that our Lord and Savior, God himself would come down to earth, would be willing to be beaten, ridiculed, and hung on a cross to die, stabbed, poked, humiliated for me, so that I could be washed clean. That is the essence of the gospel. Jesus Christ gave his life for you. Jesus Christ died to wash away all of your sins. Jesus Christ died to wipe the slate clean and say, no, no, no. When God looks at you now, he's going to see me. And when he sees me, he sees beauty. He sees perfection. He sees love. He sees godliness. He sees Jesus. To do that, man, that's way more than a ride or die. He didn't just ride all the way to the end. He died to try and save us. That offer is there for you. If you have not met this Jesus yet, that offer is there for you right here, right now, this time, this place. All you have to do is come up here, and we will pray with you and over you, and you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior right here and right now, in this time and in this place. And if you do, the rest of us, I'm making a commitment for you, should go out of here glorifying God for what we saw today. Right? We should go out praising God for someone being saved and someone coming to know Jesus. And the truth is, if you have forgotten what all of that means, and that's easy to do, the longer we are followers of Jesus, the more we begin to, unfortunately, take for granted this forgiveness of sins that we have received from him and the price he paid for it. This is also a day for you to remember. This is also a day to allow yourself to be healed. And maybe if you need it today, this is also a day to allow yourself to be lowered in the middle of the room to say, I am broken and I need help, and it can only come from one place, and that is the cross.